My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is! Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. We started the show talking about the Yankees. And again, another bad performance from the Yanks, who now fall to 40-41 since June 1st. We're talking about 3 months of action, and this team, it's one thing or another. The sloppy play, the poor starting pitching, the inconsistent bullpen, the lineup, and even worse, BT, the lack of urgency or awareness within the organization, lack of accountability. Like, this isn't something that happened new. We didn't just wake up and be like, hey, what's wrong with the Yankees? This is something that started months ago, if not years ago, with this team. And here we are, 22 games out of the postseason, meaning, you know, 22 games, obviously, until we get to the postseason. And the Yankees are a mess.
I think it's the toughest sport to really identify level of commitment and engagement. I've always thought that. I think the other sport's fairly obvious. You know, if you just take a, you know, bow out of a tackle, you're not playing hard. You know, you don't fill the hole in football. We, you know, make it a business decision. Or hockey, you're not going to finish a check. Or in the NBA, you don't box out or get back, transition defense, don't protect the rim. Unless you literally jog to first base, oh yeah, like Verdugo does now, it's hard to determine if a team is just having a rough time or if they're having a rough time because they're not mentally in it. This is the first time this year that I don't know what the answer is. I think some of the early struggles by the Yankees after a great start were partly attributable to the cyclical nature of baseball, which is common sense. Some guys get hot, some guys get cold, some guys are hurt, whatever. 162 games, it's going to happen. Right now, I just feel like this Yankees team is inexplicably playing out the string, and that is just unacceptable. You know, the amount of, and again, we try to keep the Mets out of it here, but think about the way the Mets are turning double plays
right
on a nightly basis, you know. And
the energy, the chemistry, the fun that they're having.
Yeah, you know, and even the play with Bader that I referenced, keeping that ball from going to the gap in the eighth inning, you know, in a one-run game. The Yankees, it's like the complete antithesis. Loafing down the line, you know, Torres not getting his mitt down the other night, base hit to center field, which could have been a huge out, should have been a huge out. I think even Aaron Judge is coasting a little bit in center field, and I gave you a couple of examples as to why. So I don't know the origin. I don't know the end of it, but I'll tell you this. They don't look like a team that's locked into a championship. That's it. They just don't.
And they haven't, to me, outside of maybe the first month or so, but they haven't, to me, really the majority of the year. And they just don't even acknowledge it. There is no accountability. Like we've been saying, this has gone on for years. We referenced the example, whether it's Hicks, whether it's Gallo, whether it is Josh Donaldson, whether it's IKF at short, whether it's Kleber at short.
Gary Sanchez before that,
my God, all these guys, exactly right. Yep, and then so Clay Holmes this year and Verdugo right now and LeMahieu. Like, they just, and Boone says the same thing, basically, just says it in a different way. Oh, it's all right there in front of us. We've got to go get it. Well, dude, you're a broken record. You know why he's a broken record? Because they haven't taken it by the horns yet and gone out there and gotten it. He's like, oh, it's all right there in front of us. Yeah, well, at some point, maybe you start winning. The division should be in the bag right now. The Orioles can't even beat the White Sox, for goodness sake, yesterday.
Yeah, they got crushed.
And the Yanks are still in second place. And I get they could still win the division. And yes, technically, it is still there in front of them. But what makes you think that it's going to change when you watch this team and they don't do anything well? They have two mega stars in Soto and Judge. They have the best pitcher, or one of the best pitchers in baseball with Gerrit Cole, was the best pitcher last year. This year, you know, banged up, whatever.
Yep.
We'll see what Gerrit Cole could finish out here. But they got to be better than what they are. They're just not a good team. They haven't been a good team.
I do think you and I differ on this a little bit. I think they've got a pretty good deep starting staff. I know that Stroman obviously was not good last night. And when Rodon has been off, he's been really off. A couple of those games that really tilt the stats. But, you know, I would challenge anybody go through. I don't even have quality starts in front of me, but just the eye test, whatever. But if you want to back it up with more than the eye test, I feel like the Yankees are among, you know, the higher on the list than not of teams that, you know, come out and give quality starts. Like, the Yankees are very rarely losing 7-2 in the third or 5-1 after one. Of course, there's anomalies. It's baseball. Happens to even great teams. But, you know, they're just, they're a very imperfect team. And when Judge struggles, and he's scuffling. And by the way, we need to talk about this Paw Patrol curse. Do you know about this?
No. What? Oh, Judge did the Paw Patrol show?
Yeah, do you know what he's doing since?
No, what?
I love Paw Patrol. I'm very conflicted with this. Paw Patrol, since being on the show, he's hitting 185 with no home runs and 13 strikeouts since it aired.
He's hitting 135 and what?
185.
Okay, 185.
With no home runs and 13 strikeouts in 27 at-bats. This was before last night. It's Paw Patrol.
Oh, I wouldn't blame Paw Patrol.
I'm not blaming them, but it's an interesting coincidence.
The Yankees have gone from dogs to puppies real quick. I haven't heard a bark from Verdugo in a long time.
Yeah, it's true. And his strikeout rate since the Paw Patrol episode went public, 42%. Suddenly Judge is whiffing quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm not going to correlate the two, but point is, the Yankees have not, they haven't been held accountable. They have not been very good for a long time. And everybody's just like, oh, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll bring up Dominguez when we need to. We'll figure out closer situation. Yeah, we'll get creative back there. That means you don't have a closer. How are we supposed to take this team seriously? Doesn't mean that they can't go on a run in the postseason, but it just doesn't seem very likely at all based on what we have seen for 3 months here. Plus, if you want to go back even further and reference the years of failures that the Yankees have had.
Which gets old after a while, but it's part of the story because this group, as I said before, has done nothing together, so they don't really earn the benefit of the doubt. Like the 2000 Yankees, who lost won three of their last 17 games, still beat the Mets in the World Series. But I look at the finish to this season, like, I think it's paramount that they win the division. And I haven't always thought that about previous Yankee teams. Right. Yeah, you know, whatever. But the more they play, the more they'll be exposed for the holes they have on the team. And the more you can avoid one round, like, they got to win the East.
Yeah, and it seems like they're not even trying, obviously, because they're not putting their best players out there, or they're letting players that have failed all year long still remain out there when they got 22 games to go. It should be pedal to the metal, best foot forward, and that has not been the case with the Yankees, certainly as of late. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Lou is in Astoria. What's up, Lou? Sorry, we got a bad line there, Lou. Pete is calling from Dover. What's up, Pete?
Hey, what's up, boys? I love the show.
Thank you.
First time calling in for you guys.
Thank you.
All right, so I think, no problem. I think we can collectively agree the Yankees aren't starting the right guys. The last caller, I love that guy. Wake up call. The Martian's not going to save everybody. Wake up call. The guys need a team meeting, something like what the Mets did. Wake up call, intervention. You want to win World Series, got Soto and Judge on the team? Let's get some intervention, because these calls, you know, sitting well, starting LeMahieu, you got to have some intervention, and Boone is a big part of it. And the Boone versus Mendoza conversation is real. Because 40 and 41 is unacceptable.
Yeah, it is unacceptable. For the Yankees, Pete, and thank you for the call. And we talked about Boone and Mendoza, and I was saying that I think the Mets have the better manager by far. Yankees made a big mistake there letting Mendy go. If you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Look, I'm not saying Boone should be fired here, BT, but there have been points in this season where we did question, you know, that maybe the Yankees needed a change. And again, it's not just that Boone, I don't think he's their biggest problem, but he also hasn't helped turn this thing around. It's been 81 games. What more sample do you need to get this team going? Like, how many? Well, we're just going to wait until October and hope that that's what the Yankees are doing. They're hoping as opposed to doing.
Well, hold on now. But that also implies they're doing nothing behind the scenes. Now, whether or not that's working, then that's certainly up there for debate.
Well, what are they doing, though?
I don't know. But I could promise you that they're not doing nothing. I could promise you that.
Well, how can you promise me that when I'm watching them do nothing?
Well,
meaning LeMahieu is still there, Verdugo, Clay Holmes forever name a few.
Well, those are lineup decisions, and that's certainly up for debate. And I don't disagree with a lot of them, but you and I are on the same page. I'm talking about things that they've addressed pertaining to, a decrease in fundamentals or absence of. I'm sure that Aaron Boone's addressing it. Now, message not being received. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What, two questions. I asked you two quickies. Number one, what do you think is Aaron Boone's best attribute? His best attribute?
That his players like him.
Okay.
Like being a player's manager.
Okay. What do you think is his worst attribute?
Probably the same thing. I mean, I'd like a guy to hold him more accountable publicly. I mean, look, I like Boone's passion and he'll protect his players. And I think that is good in a certain way. I think his worst trait is probably his lack of understanding or acknowledging the reality of the situation.
Okay, so that's an interesting answer, which I didn't think you'd say, but it gives me an interesting response, I think. So I'm going to defend Boone here.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing, especially here, would be to feed into it. So by you saying what you just said, I can actually flip that into a positive. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series, but I think he's a great stabilizer. That's what I've always thought. If you ask me what's his best trait, I think he's a good baseball man. His dad, his grandfather. I think Aaron Boone's a really good stabilizer, and I think that matters in this city with the energy around the Yankees, all good and bad. And if he fed into the stuff that, yeah, we might feel better, I think it makes it worse. The fact that he doesn't say much, it disarms the reporters in a way.
Right.
They know they're not getting much, so they don't push the way they used to push with certain guys that would give it to them.
Right, but BT, you're missing the big point.
Go ahead.
They suck. Nothing has changed. So, like, you could say that it's great to stay the course and not give in to the media. I don't care about the media. I don't care about what Aaron Boone says. I care about what I'm watching. And it's the same crap for 81 games. The New York Yankees with Judge, Soto, Cole, and more should be better than a team that's under 500 for the last 81 games.
Yep.
That's what I care about. So how he handles it or whatever, that's fine. He can do it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
He can handle it in front and not acknowledge anything. They're not in reality acknowledging anything because nothing is changing. So whatever they're doing isn't working.
Oh, I don't dispute that part.
And they still think that it is or that it's going to. So what is it going to take? Because it's not just those 81 games. It's not just this year. This has been going on for years.
Understood.
So why, like, nothing is going to change if they don't make changes.
Well, again, that's a greater conversation.
Right.
And we've gotten into the Cashman stuff, and I haven't disagreed. As a matter of fact, I kind of led the charge on that. You know what I said.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I ask you about, and I framed it the way I did, because to me, if you're playing poor, like, what's worse than playing poorly? Well, to play poorly and to have chaos around you, okay? Now, optimally, you're playing well, and there's no chaos. There's harmony. Right. But at least he is very good at, when they are playing poorly, he's limiting the outside noise, which to me at least gives them a better chance to come out of this thing. Because if the chaos was here and they were playing poorly, it's a wrap.
Right, but how
then
about,
it's completely over. It's done.
But how about acknowledging that you're playing poorly?
Well, again, I'm not disagreeing with that part.
But I think that could be healthy, too. Instead of sweeping it under the rug and be like, oh, no, I'm going to ignore the chaos and I don't want to create any more drama. Let's sweep it under the rug, and hope it gets better.
Yeah.
That clearly isn't helping here.
It's not.
How about sitting back acknowledging the fact that, hey, like the Mets did when they were 11 games under 500. Mm-hmm. Hey, we suck right now. We're not good enough. This can't go on. Matter of fact, that took the pressure off because they were so bad. Whereas the Yankees, it's like they either don't want to acknowledge it, they don't understand it, they think that we're all crazy. Their record is what it is. They are a team that is under 500 for the better part of the season to date, from June 1st on.
No question.
And yet they talk and act like they're some world champion pedigree because of their history.
But again, I guess I'm just reacting less to what they present to us because at the end of the day, that doesn't matter.
Right.
The results do. So let me flip it to you this way.
Right.
Yeah, any game. And they've had a few of these games. They had a couple of games where they made two errors in a row for a while. It was like five or six games, whatever it was. I think it was five, but it was a couple. So, all right. The opponent's immaterial.
Yeah.
Yankees have two errors. Their pitchers combined walk five guys. They leave 11 runners on base. They strike out an inordinate amount of time, 13 times in a single game, and they lose 7-2 to a bad team. Aaron Boone comes into the club, not with the media on Yes, he comes into that clubhouse. How do you think he handles it? Do you think he projects to them what he projects to us? Because if he does, well, that is a massive problem, and he should be fired now. I don't think that that happens.
Okay, but and my answer is kind of like you said before. I don't care.
But it matters.
No. It matters how the results come from it.
No, nothing matters more than that. I'm not going to debate that.
Right. I understand that. But if whatever it is he's doing isn't working. So whether he's handling it like, okay, well, he's holding them accountable behind closed doors. We talked to his brother about this. Brett Boone was on with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, there's no way Aaron is letting this stuff fly. Like, he's a competitor. I know he's going to get on these guys when he needs to get on them, whether it's lack of running out of ground, but whatever it may be.
That was a lot of bad story. Okay. That was 2 weeks ago. You guys should find it. It was good.
That may be fine. Good. But their way isn't working. So maybe if he did hold them accountable publicly,
you think it would embarrass them almost a little bit and light a fire?
Maybe. By the way, it's not about what he says. It's about what they do. Gleyber Torres shouldn't be on the field. DJ LeMahieu shouldn't be on the team. Alex Verdugo shouldn't be getting all these at-bats all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like,
Clay Holmes shouldn't be given another opportunity to blow an 11 save.
I agree with a lot of the things that you just said. Certainly, I think the Torres should be on the field. Based on the roster, he should be on the field, but I hear you.
Right.
So, okay, let's say that you're right. Torres should not be on the field. Who's playing second?
Yeah, but this is a problem.
That's not a Boone problem, though. That's my point.
But it's mine, too.
But we can't rail on Boone for playing Torres when there's nobody better. Not Aaron Boone's fault.
I'm ripping the organization. I'm not saying Boone should be fired. Now, he's going to get fired if the Yankees don't win in the postseason. I mean, it's going
to
be the end of the road.
You'd have to think it's the end of the road. There's no doubt.
There were points that this came up earlier in the year. Matter of fact, I was the one defending Boone, saying this is the furthest thing from Boone's problem. I don't think he is a problem. But he's part of the problem. He's not the problem. He's also not a solution. He hasn't been.
Do you think Boone's saying to Cashman and superiors, now we don't bring up Dominguez? Or do you think that that's the front
office? No, I think the Yankees organization is a mess.
Well, that's what I've been on that more than I've been on Boone for years.
Right, but I'm not getting on Boone.
No, but I'm saying, we were talking about Boone and what he presents to the public. So
because
that's why I just kind of making sure I defend him where I think he needs a little defense.
Right,
a little bit.
From what?
Sit down, Torres, who's playing second?
Right.
Like, what's the answer? I mean, we can speak in hypotheticals. Sal Licata, right. Hey, welcome to Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Sal Licata, the newest manager for the New York Yankees. Welcome, Sal. Long lineage. Hope you do well.
Yeah.
So you have decided to bench Gleyber Torres tonight. Sal, who are you going to play?
No, BT, this is a stupid conversation.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't have had Torres on the team.
But like, that's not a Boone thing.
I know that.
Okay, I don't understand
why you're making it a... Here's Boone's issue. He's not acknowledging the reality of their crappy situation to a fault because the results have not gotten better. So I agree that it's a bigger picture. This is not on Aaron Boone. However, Boone could do something differently to try to fix this team other than stay the course and be consistent, as you were saying,
yep.
or whatever his, you know, what was the word
his
you
approach,
used
before? His MO,
what you said his greatest word. Strength was what?
Stabilizer.
Right. Yep. Staying, like keeping an even keel, stabilizing things. It's just not working.
It's also not him. And that might be that's
we
a different
agree.
Conversation, could be a different problem.
We agree on that.
It's just not him. But he's never going to do it, man. It's not happening.
I would not employ Gleyber Torres on my team. That's going back years.
Yep.
Do you know why? Because I watch him play, and he's a losing player. And he's been that way the majority of his career. And they yet run him out there every day. I also would not have moved Gleyber to shortstop like they did. So if Sal Licata were running the Yankees, guess what? They'd be in a better spot than they are now. And that's the facts, because they wouldn't allow it to go out there with IKF, who's not a shortstop, Gleyber Torres, Aaron Hicks, Joey Gallo, Josh Donaldson, and so on. Now, I'm not saying that I would have all the answers,
yeah.
but I'm smart enough to know when something's not working.
You gotta move on.
It's not working.
And I believe you try.
It hasn't worked for them, and they keep doing the same
yep.
damn thing.
I'm not protesting
and,
that.
And Boone keeps saying the same damn thing.
Okay, so there's two different things there. But it's like, so if Sal's running the Yankees, these players are gone.
Well, Stan
but if
would be
Sal's
gone
managing and, yeah. the Yankees, you're going to see the same thing because you can only put in the lineup who's in front of you.
Right, but also there's a different way that he can handle it, meaning the way that Mendoza has done it with the Mets, hold guys accountable or just speak honestly about what is going on and what we all see. Maybe that would do the players.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
some good as opposed to coddling them every freaking time.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Kansas City at Yankee Stadium on Wednesday, September 11th, right now. Be calling number 13 at 866-540-WFAN for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz, and The Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. BT and Sal on The Fan, 888-808-1019. So Matt Chapman of the Giants, BT, who I've not watched one second of this year, he got a, what did he sign in the offseason? A two-year deal with a third option.
It was a one-year deal with two player options and one mutual option.
Okay.
Multiple options.
But he was getting, Boris was getting criticized because Chapman couldn't get a long-term deal.
Yep.
He only got the 2 year with multiple options, whatever. He is now extended.
He did. Yeah, he got some money. I'm a little surprised. Me and Hoff were talking about this during the break earlier. Like, it jumped out on, like, okay, Matt Chapman's okay. And it was like, wow, he's really bounced back. He's got a good war. Yeah, most of the war is attributed to his defense. He's hitting .247.
Right.
His OPS is below .800. And he's got 22 home runs and 68 RBIs. Now, I look at this.
And what did he get? What was his total deal?
6 years, like 160, 151. But yeah, I hear you out. But as I read, all told, the Giants will pay Chapman 169. That includes this year. So 151 plus the 18 he made this year. So yeah, it's a decent amount of money. The difference, though, and I think why it was interesting to me, and it is interesting, is because at least on some level, I've got to maybe reconsider the market for Pete Alonso. Maybe. Matt Chapman's 31. Pete's 30. All right. Now, Chapman is truly a great defensive player. Pete's okay at first, but Pete's a better power hitter and just a better overall hitter. Average aside, I think he's more dangerous than Chapman. Nobody's going to disagree with that. So I don't know. I look at this and I'm like, well, you know, maybe I wouldn't give Pete a long-term deal. I've said that,
right.
But maybe other teams, including the Mets, will reconsider based on the Chapman. I mean, that's an interesting deal for Matt Chapman.
Well, a long-term deal is, but they're not comparable. Like, to me, the comp would be Matt Olson or Freddie Freeman.
So do you think that Pete is better or worse than Matt Chapman as a player? Who'd you rather have? Same age. Who would you rather have batting fourth?
I mean, I think it just depends on who. Well, batting fourth, Pete Alonso's a cleanup hitter. That's not Matt Chapman's thing. Matt Chapman's a better defensive player.
No, I got you. But I'm saying it's not like one guy's 25, the other guy's 33. Like, they're, and they both play the corners. Neither's a shortstop, a catcher, or center fielder. So the positions are more comparable than, say, a second baseman and a right fielder. I would rather have Pete Alonso on my team.
Right.
I just think
it depends on what you need. And also, wouldn't the comp, if you're looking to pay a first baseman, wouldn't you go based off of what Freeman and Olson got? Like, there's no way, and I don't care what Chapman gets, there's no way anybody could justify paying Pete Alonso more than what Matt Olson or Freddie Freeman got. No?
I agree with
okay,
that.
Okay, so now that's the, and that was set at what? One? I always forget the number, 170?
161,
okay, whatever.
I want to say,
okay, 160.
Olson, something like
and
that.
The Mets offered Alonso a contract similar to that.
A little
that
bit below 157,
last
158.
Season
yeah.
That he turned down.
Correct.
So, I don't know how the Mets, now you want to say Boris, because Boris was able to get Chapman the 160,
mm-hmm.
and Alonso on paper is a better player, certainly a better impactful offensive player.
No question.
But that's not why he's getting paid. He's getting paid for his defense and maybe some other stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to find somebody to pay for Pete's power, which even in a down year, he's going to hit you probably 35 home runs, right? Maybe somebody is going to give him a longer-term
deal.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, at least I think, for me, I'm like, okay, maybe there's an extra year or two out there for Pete I didn't see. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Right, which is fine, but is it better for Pete to take the lesser deal? Like, I don't know what Chapman's offers were.
Very
few. Or Blake Snell, but they felt it was better to take a higher AAV short-term and then try to go out there and maximize on that.
Yeah.
Where Pete had a down walk year, would he be smarter himself to say, I'll just sign 1 year max AAV, go out there and crush it, and then hope to get a long-term deal?
With the Mets or somewhere else?
Whoever, wherever.
Well, I think it matters because Matt Chapman went to a ballpark that's not conducive to hitting.
Right.
And City's, you know, a pretty good ballpark for hitting. It's not the best. It's certainly not the worst. I think it's probably more of the neutral variety, but I mean, if Pete went to a bandbox and he slugged 49 home runs, then maybe a one-year deal might be the way to go.
Or maybe he just wants security now, and maybe there is a team that's going to give it to him. So there's always been the conversation, and it's like that with every free agent. What is the market going to be, and what you think, or what, more importantly, the Mets or Yankees think that their market is, or that their price is going to be. Like, I can only speak for what I would do for Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. And there's no way in hell I'm giving him a long-term deal that's more money than Freddie Freeman or Matt Olson.
There's no chance.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Now, I also don't believe the Mets are going to, could be wrong. I thought if Pete had a big-time year, that maybe he could get his $200 million or maybe even $220 million. Now, that's if he had a big-time year. He didn't. Plus, you factor in the age and you know, the wanting Soto.
And Vientos now proves he can hit. Maybe they think they could put him there.
Yeah, I mean, so there are different factors. Also, let's not forget, going into the year, people foolishly still thought Pete Alonso was some kind of leader or captain and all that. He's clearly not.
Well, we didn't think that.
No, well, that's why I said some people foolishly thought that. Lindor has clearly taken the reins of this team. He is the leader. He is the face of the franchise. Matter of fact, the most important day of the season for the Mets and meeting that Lindor called took place when Alonso wasn't even there.
He was at the hospital.
Now, I'm not trying to minimize Pete Alonso's impact. I'm just telling you that he's not a key core piece.
Yeah, no, I'm aware.
He has had a minimal impact on this team. Now, 31 homers is 31 homers, and you don't want to give away that power, but you're also not going to go nuts about it. So is Pete going to want to take less to maybe be with the Mets? Or is he going to want to take the most money, which maybe he does get a 200? You think Pete's getting 200 somewhere else?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
No.
Maybe the Cubs say we want him. Maybe the Giants say we want him. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I did want to finish the thought on Chapman. You know, again, I think it's interesting. Maybe it's a slight recalibration off the previous recalibration contractually. Like, the contracts are changing. They would look at Bellinger, look at Chapman, look at Blake Snell. Right. And maybe this is the early phase of it going back to a little longer or whatever. But maybe it's not. I just bring this up because it's interesting because of Pete's situation and Chapman, this is counter to the recent contract trends here outside of Olsen and Freeman, who's a superstar. But the thing about San Francisco, nobody's going there, man. And I mean, nobody. And
just because people don't want to live there?
California is busted and broken and the homelessness and the crime. I mean, not that New York is flourishing right now, but San Francisco and the state is just a disaster. And nobody wants to go there. It has long been reported on, and there is an aversion to going to San Francisco for major league players, okay? So maybe they had to tack on an extra year or two. So maybe that's not really a representation of a new shift. I'm just saying, 6 years for Chapman's pretty interesting.
Right, so and if you Pete Alonso, Scott Boras, you say, well, he's a much more impactful offensive bat than Chapman.
I think he is.
Loses a little defense. Well,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah, I definitely think he is.
Chapman's a good player, and you could say a better baseball player, plays better defense.
Yeah, 13 stolen bases this year.
Right, he'll be more consistent, but Pete's power has been consistent. That's his greatest attribute. Just how much are you going to be willing to pay for it? So there's a question of what the market will be for Pete, which we have no idea about, and then what we would do or what the Mets will do with Pete Alonso. And I just can't imagine they're going to overpay for a guy that they already offered a contract last year, had a down year relative to his expectations this year.
Yeah.
How do you justify going out there?
Well, the only way you justify it, and I think this would be more an ownership thing rather than Stearns. I don't think so. I think Stearns already has his parameters, and I believe that strongly, that he's not going to bend. But if the emotional side starts to overflow here and the Mets continue this hot run and the Mets make the playoffs and Citi Field's banging and they don't lose three in a row, or they actually play some couple of weeks and they make some more money, and Pete hits a couple of bombs, maybe sentiment prevails, and maybe Cohen says, you know what, we'll do it for 210. We'll make you an all-time Met. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but I could at least see the possibility based on the way they look now and the energy, and he's not beyond a heater.
Right.
So,
And as long as it doesn't impact the pursuit of a top starting pitcher and Juan Soto, I'm fine with it. You want to fit in there. I wouldn't do it myself, but I could understand that if he starts to get sentimental about it, wants to bring Pete back.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Next hour, we'll have Dave Portnoy coming up at 1:20. Talk to him. about his One Bite Pizza Fest. And, of course, Boston Sports have some fun talking with Portnoy, El Presidente. We'll do that at 110, and then 120. And then BT at 140 will have the call of the day. It'll be my wife. We got it. We recorded it yesterday. We talked about the couples fantasy league. I was worried that she was going to curse me out when I brought it up. She didn't know she was being taped or anything. Mm-hmm. So we'll play that back and see what you think of her.
Can
reaction.
You give me a hint? Now I thought, without giving much away,
yeah,
you thought she would kick and scream
100%.
Okay, I thought it might be a sign of affection that she would appreciate being inclusive with her. And yeah, I may be on track.
I think I might have misread it a little bit. Now, I will say that I found out why she was maybe in a good mood when I called her, because I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, but anyway, the check cash, just put something in the bank.
We'll play it back. Something at school happened. She was in a good mood. But we'll play it back. You guys can see for yourself or hear for yourself coming up at 140. Now, when you came into the building, we'll get back to the calls here in a second. When you came into the building today,
mm-hmm,
did they ask you?
Yeah, they wanted me to download something to get a bagel.
What are we doing here?
I did nothing. I kept walking. I said, I'm good. Thank you. I mean, I was nice, but there's no way. I'm good. Thank you.
Same thing. Like, I walk in, like, oh, hey, sorry. I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, good morning. Good to see everybody. But there was more people than usual.
Yes.
And then he's like, hey, have you heard about the new building app? And I'm like, building app?
Ugh.
What are you talking about? He's like, oh, just go over there. And so I'm like, nah.
Not interested.
I'm good. Like, I don't want a building app. I don't even think he got the bagel part out, and I don't want a bagel anyway. Thank you for the offer, but don't want it. What am I going to do with the building app? I'm like, I got work to do. I'm walking into work here. It's early in the morning. Yeah. We got to get ready for. I'm going to go sign up for an app.
I can't wait to leave the building. I'm going to find reasons to stay
for
a building app.
What does this building app do? Dope, did you get hit with that? Did you download the app?
I got hit with it.
And?
I didn't download it. I'm thinking about it. But from the card they gave out, it looks like there are a lot of amenities in Hudson Square, not just our buildings, a lot of buildings in Hudson Square that they own. And they have things they can offer. Let's say you had a meeting with somebody.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to bring them up to our palatial studios here.
Yeah.
You wanted a fancier place to sit down and schmooze with
somebody. Yeah, not interested.
Next.
No thanks. Yeah, anything else? Do they have free parking? Maybe we can
go.
So is there an app for that?
I'm interested with
that. A building app. Like, what do we got? Apps for? I'm not trying to knock the building. It's a very nice building, and I'm sure they're doing another job.
It does look good.
Yeah,
the work they're doing.
The new entrance and all that
actually.
Stuff. It looks like a real work building. But an app?
No.
I mean, come on. I got enough of these apps here. I don't need an app for the building. I asked Hoff about it. They didn't even ask him.
No, I think they left a letter off because for the first week, I needed a map to get to the elevator because everything was rerouted and completely twisted. But that's easy. You know, I was hungry, too. It took a lot for me to keep walking. And I love bagels.
They said, hey, you get a free bagel, sir. And you're like, nah, I'm so good.
Gave it
you
a quick thought look, about but it. I didn't stop. I didn't break stride.
A little cream cheese?
Like,
where do you
starving.
Go? Cream cheese or butter?
Butter. For a second, I thought, maybe I could just get the bagel and just get the hustle on it. Honestly, that like for
I'm not surprised. I'll sign up for the app later. Give me the bagel now.
I was thinking along somewhere, but I'm like, I got to read. I got to get into the show. It was like 8:20, whatever, 8:30.
Meet the and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Lou is in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Hey, thank you for taking the call. I'm glad I had a good connection now.
Yeah, it sounds better, Lou. Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, thank you. Listen, before I go to, I'll be real quick. With the Mets, Mandy should be a manager of the year because in our Yankee, Boone doesn't do things like that. He made a switch where he moved Lindor from the pressure being there batting third to at least for a little of a position where he relaxed, and from there on he took off, and mentally he just unstoppable right now. So Mandy deserves to be not only co-MVP, which doesn't exist, but a great job. He's manager of the year. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, well, I don't even care about the manager of the year necessarily. Went over that the awards. Like, it'd be nice for him, sure. I just care that he's a good manager. And matter of fact, let me take
that
back.
An incredible move, though. You got to admit that.
I think.
But anyway,
whoa, hold on, Lou. Hold on, Lou. I don't know if your phone line might be working. I don't know if your ears are working. I'm talking here. Give me a second. Moving Lindor to the leadoff spot was not a brilliant move. Even I would have said that. But Mendoza, and I did say that as a matter of fact before he even did it, Mendoza has not been good this year. He's been great. Now go ahead. What's your next point?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Listen, on Soto, this is what I want you guys your opinion right now. Okay. When you win and you hit, of course, he's a great hitter. He's the worst right fielder defensive that I ever saw in my life. He's going to be a future DH. I don't think that I hope the Yankees don't do it, give him that much money. For a guy that's going to be at 27, probably a DH. He played behind second base because even his arm strength is not that strong. okay? And he butchers every freaking ball. If Judge was there, we would have won at least 5 games that he blew up, okay? You take care.
Okay, thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Lou.
I mean, look, I'm not going to go nuts about Soto's defense. You're not paying him $500, $600 million for his defense, mm-hmm. so I can't go nuts about that. And the Yankees are going to have to figure something out moving Judge out of center field right there. Eventually, if they do sign Soto long-term, he's going to be locked in there. You don't also want to have two DHs back into that contract, but that's a problem for another day. We'll get into that. I wouldn't worry about Soto's defense, though.
No, and he started pretty well. Remember, even in Houston, throwing, I forget which runner it was, making a play at the plate. Some sliding grabs. He's been a little loose the last couple of weeks, but no, you're not paying him to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Think of who's a great center fielder. We do the baseball cards, like Devon White.
Yeah, right.
He's a masher. He's a hitter.
You're paying him for his bat, for his offense. Evan is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. I don't always call during the day, so confusing names, but the one of you that was real passionate and frustrated about the Yankees. 100% agree with everything you said, and I think the key point that illuminates it all is, like, I hate Torres too. Passionless, no fire, never gets mad. At himself, always looks like he's fine with doing terribly, and he's our third or fourth best hitter currently. I think that kind of says it all about our roster. The points about the pitching. I just want to say, I'm not anything close to a manager in MLB, and I'm not the only guy who knew this, but back in April and May, and let me see if you guys saw this too, I was saying my dad, with diehard Yankee fans, April and May, this starting pitching, which was in Fantasy Island, this thing's not going to continue like this. And we had 5-6 hitters who were like, Mendoza line at that point. And, they didn't make any moves. What did they think? We were going to have a lights-out starting pitching staff, the whole year? And then my last point is just regarding Holmes, and I get your guys' thoughts and appreciate your time. It's just, that's the thing that gets me more than anything is Boone's repeated conferences with, he had good stuff. He had good stuff. I thought his stuff, he didn't have good stuff. Hmm. He can't throw it over the plate. And then when he finally does, it's not trying to hit a corner or make a filthy pitch. He's just trying not to throw a ball. He doesn't have good stuff. He's been horrible, and we should have somebody in there for some time now, and I think that's where Boone is dramatically failing. You're not going to do it maybe in 3, 4, 5 saves, but this is ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, a lot of managers do that, and it's annoying. He was pretty good. He just couldn't locate. Well, if you can't locate, you're not good. It's your job to locate. I mean, they can all rear back and throw 95. Can you put it on the black? Can you present it as a strike and then have it dance out of the zone? That's what really happens when you're doing well, when you're on top of your game. I do think that it was very easy to see that the Yankees starting staff would take a step back.
Right.
But that at least the thought was from their early performance. The step back would be mitigated by the step forward by Gerrit Cole.
Correct, and that has not been the case.
No, because Luis Gil has taken a bigger step back than we thought. Right. And injury,
as have others.
Clark Schmidt got hurt, things that just happened.
Schmidt getting hurt, Rodon's inconsistency, Stroman has not been as good as he was earlier on in the year. Stroman does drive me nuts, too, because the same thing after every poor start. Well, my mechanics were a little bit off today, and my mechanics weren't where they needed to be. Well, then get them right. Well, what do you mean your mechanics were off today? And it's just like, my mechanics were off. Like, they fix it then. If you know, if it sounds so simple.
Yeah, well, it's not. My mechanics weren't there. It's not. He presents it as simple. It's very complex.
I just don't, but it's the same thing. Even to the point where the reporter's like, Marcus, was this a mechanics thing for you? Because they already know what he's going
to
say.
They're already leading him to it.
Mechanics thing. Getting tattooed all over the place. Mechanics thing. Then fix it. Or if his mechanics aren't there, then that's on the manager to see and get him out there before he gives up the 10 runs or whatever.
That's actually true. And they did say that on the broadcast last night. Like, they should have maybe intervened earlier. They didn't. But the bottom line is this. If I said to you, Sal, does it feel like the Yankees right now are top 10 in team ERA and top 10 in opponents' batting average?
No, but don't you think that some of those stats are because of what happened in April and May, just like their record or run differential?
Absolutely influenced, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Just like, you can say that about a lot of people and a lot of either team-oriented or an individual, somebody who starts hot and
I'd be curious
whatever.
What it is if we can... From June 1st on, Like, if we just can, now it's not fair to the Yankees to cut out April and May where they had their best months, but for the sake of recency purposes and the more larger, more recent sample size, I'd like to know what that is from June 1st
on. I think that's a good point. I guarantee at that point they wouldn't be top 10. I look at, though, the Yankees, the staff, including Schmidt and however they arrange this, you know, I think that the Yankees really have a lot of guys who have either elite stuff or close to it. Cole has elite stuff. Rodon has elite stuff. Doesn't bring it to the mound every time, but he's got elite stuff.
Right.
Luis Gil has elite stuff. Clark Schmidt has maybe a tick below elite stuff. Cortez does not have elite stuff. Neither does Stroman. But, I mean, how many staffs have, you know, three or four guys with either elite or borderline elite stuff? I mean, that's why I'm less concerned. Maybe this is just going to come back to bite me. I'm less concerned about the Yankee starters than I am the offense. I've said that for a while.
No.
You know, I just think that the Yankee starters, you get to October, whomever you're playing, it's going to be a tight game. And it's going to be late, and then we'll see if the Yankees execute the old bugaboos. You know, do you get them in? Do you get them over? Do you get them over, get them in? You know, productive outs, which they don't always do. Do they run the bags well, which they don't always do? Do they catch the baseball, which they don't always do? Do they hold leads, which they don't always do? I think that's what concerns me most about the Yankees.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.